Yeah, I was thinking one thing that is hard when you mention about the people, you know, catching these walleyes, especially you watch them on television and you know they're catching these giants and letting them go and it's for sport and that's cool. But like I'd say like up here, it's really hard to expect people to let a walleye go
Right.
that is legal that could go in the frying pan. You know, and around here, like most of the lakes have the ceded territory regulations, right? Where you've got the 15 to 20, 9 to 9, or 15 to 20 inches, you can keep. 20 to 24, have to go back, and one over 24, you can keep. And you know, if someone catches a nice 18-inch walleye, it's they're most people up here are going to keep it. I mean, it's just good eating fish, and it's a really nice fish
And
to
we
take
kind of
deep.
put faith in the DNR and the scientists to make those rules and regulations to help that we can keep them and they're not going to hurt the
Nope.
population. We kind of feel like, well, then, yeah, we're all working
Well,
on this
and bass
together.
too. You know, you catch some bass, smallmouth, like out of these rivers and lakes. We don't keep the smallmouth. But if we hook one bad, like we're using plastic, and one gets, and we hook it and we know that fish, I mean, chance of it making, you know, we keep it
If it's
and we,
legal.
if it's legal, and we fillet it up and it's as good at eating, you know, especially didn't freeze it, it came out of cold water. That's really good eating, you know, so we encourage that. If instead of just letting that fish float belly up, you know, why, let's keep it. And, but walleyes, that's a prize. You know, people aren't gonna usually let those go.
And I think some people are just more food driven. You ask, like, what's the difference in these two populations of people that walleye fish? And I use my grandson as a good example. Last year, he got to have his alone time with his grandparents, and we went out. I want to go catch a great big fish. We're like, okay, cool. So we go out. He catches a great big muskie.
I mean, for this little lake you're
He's
on,
3 years
yeah.
old, and it's like this big. And we get all done, let it go, and now he looks at me. He goes, Mimi, now can we go get one we can eat?
Yeah, it's
You
like,
know, in his mind, he's like, he's had fish. He wants to just get one that we can eat because that's a special thing to him, you know? So
yeah. And there's a
sometimes
lot,
it's.
we do get a lot of people like that, that they're very surprised when we tell them, you know, like, no, we're gonna do catch and release on the bass and the muskies. But if we catch a walleye, you know, we can keep a couple of walleyes, like, oh, okay, you know, so they're pretty excited about
Yeah.
that, so.
Well, I'm sure you've eaten plenty of fish over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Is walleye, I mean, what makes walleye different or special? Is there, you can tell the difference.
Well, I always said for most people, you know, because it doesn't taste like fish. I mean, like most people, you know, you
It's
got the trout
firm.
and salmon species that are, you know, they're very distinct, and then you get into the other fish. But I, it's, yeah, it's firm.
White.
Yeah, the thickness is even, I think the thickness is good. It's not like a, you know, like you get a bluegill, and unless it's a really big one, by the time you know, you fry it, it's thin and it's good, but it's, there's not a lot of meat there, right? But I think the size is good. You know, I
Yeah.
think the, and I think you can cook it a bunch. We do a lot of experimenting on cooking, especially when we're in canoe country and we're, you know, we don't have all the, you don't always want to have to fry them and whatever. And we cook, we poach some in butter, and we
Yeah.
broil them, and we do bake them, and we do all sorts of
Yeah.
stuff. So,
Is there a wrong way to eat them?
I just don't overcook them.
No, and there's really
No.
creative ways to make them. You can make walleye cheek nachos,
Yes,
which
she did.
you
Yes,
flay
she
out
did.
when you have a big enough walleye, you get the cheek out of it, and then I perched one on each little tortilla and
Yes, she
garnish.
did. Yes,
Yep,
she
up in the
did.
Canadian wilderness, we did that. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the decision to mount a fish. I mean, what goes into that? Because obviously taxidermy is a big thing, and like you talked about, you're making memories. So what's the difference between taking a picture versus like having something hang on the wall?
Yeah, it's a kind of a controversial thing. I think when you're a professional, you have a responsibility to kind of set a standard for people and what you expect. But at the same time, you know, there are a lot of really good options now with replicas and so forth. And we encourage replicas a lot.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you get a fish that you feel like it'd be hard to capture that fish with a replica, whether it's a paint or a size or whatever. And it's usually the story around that fish that really means the most. And like
Yeah.
this fish here, you know, like Brenda said, she's caught bigger walleyes, you know, in Chequamegon Bay and Green Bay. And
this one was just barely 30 inches. But for our 25th wedding anniversary, you know, he was like, well, what do you want to do? How do you want to celebrate? You know, I'm pretty low maintenance. I said, can we go up to Canada on a canoe trip for, you know, 10 days? And so we did. And we went to a lake that I'd always wanted to go to that we never had gone to. And because... And then I caught this fish. It was like a bonus at the end of the trip.
On our way out, we were almost getting ready to get picked up.
And if you look at the color, it's so unique. It was almost black in color. In fact, the taxidermist, I spent a lot of time with him with pictures that we had taken, and we were out in this bright sun with a good camera, so we had really good pictures. And I said, if you give it back to me and it looks like a walleye from northern Wisconsin, I'm not going to be happy, because I need to have it look like this. And he did a really good job. But... you know, obviously, we liked our taxidermy, and there's just the memory there that sits with it, that surrounds you. I picture myself getting old here, and I have all those warm fuzzies that go with all the things that make me happy, and I grew up with it. You know, I grew up in this environment with, you know, I ate wild game since I was a little kid, and fish, and John did too, so for us...
It's a way of honoring it in a way, too. I think sometimes, you know, and some of the fish... You know, they have, you know, their prime spawning years with fish, you know, and once they're past that, you know, it's like, it's not nearly that kind of an impact that you might think. Now, with that said, again, we encourage replicas. Muskies, you know, we have never actually kept them. In all of our years guiding, we've never kept a muskie to get mounted.
You take pictures, you take measurements of the girth.
And so forth, you know, with everybody, we always encourage that. She caught a smallmouth bass that was almost 24 inches, just a hair under 24-inch smallmouth in a little river like that. You know, that's going to be a replica someday.
Yeah, right? If we ever get
And you don't have to do it right away either. Taking a fish to get mounted is a very stressful thing, because you give it to them, and then when you get back, that's what you get back. And it's like, you have to make sure that they capture that fish. Yeah. And it's hard. It's out of your hands. You have to find a taxidermist that is really going to do justice to that fish.
I like what you said, though, about honoring it, because that's the way I feel about it. And, like, I have a friend, my friend who's a retired fish biologist, and he's like, you know, that fish is ready to be turtle food. That's not making little walleyes anymore. And there's some of that that goes into the thinking, too. And of all the fishing, you know, I'm 64 years old, and that's the only fish I've had mounted that I caught.
Yep, and I've had two.
Yeah. So.
The deer is a little different. Once you shoot them, can't really let them go. So, you know.
But we eat all the venison.
Yes.
And make things with the parts.
Yeah, we'll do that. So, yeah.
All right. Anything else that you guys want to talk about or reference?
I think the only thing that I would say is we just are really at strange times. Us again being pretty familiar with kids and having gone through with our kids and seeing with our clients and their kids, figure out a way to get your kids involved with the fishing, in nature, the whole experience, and try and get that fire lit, because our fishing numbers are declining. We need people in the sport, and we need, it's just such a good, healthy connection you can have with your kids. So that's why I say, when do you hire a guide? Hire a guide that is going to be about your kids or your spouse having a really good time, because it might not be a quest for catching as many fish as possible, but an experience they won't forget. And once you light that fire, it's exciting. I mean, that's a lifelong thing. So,
absolutely.
All right. Can I get you to say and spell your names and the title of the business, just so I have it all correct on tape?
Sure. John, J-O-H-N, Meyer, M-A-I-E-R. And the business is True North Guiding and Outfitters.
And I'm Brenda Meyer.
All right.
Same.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
This was great.
It wasn't too bad.